Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Children's Home Society has cared for and found permanent homes for thousands of children over the past 126 years. They do so much more. There are many programs that serve families, individuals, and kids of all ages, many of whom are victims of domestic violence, abuse, or neglect. Now, overseeing Children's Home Society as its CEO is Michelle LaValle. She joins us now inside the Kirby Family Studio at SDPB's Sioux Falls Studio. Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Lori.
So the last time you were here, it was a campaign, and Billy Sutton was on the other line, and a lot has changed between then and now. Let's talk about some of the momentous changes, because you've only been on this job for a handful of days.
Yeah, this is my 11th day, and loving it, but the last time I was here, you're right, Billy was on the phone. I think he was calling in from Burke, and we were hot on the campaign trail. It turns out once you do something like that and devote a year of your life,
right?
When you go back, you feel a little bit different, right? So I thought I could just jump right back into my business, and it felt, everything felt a little, I don't know, it didn't have that kind of significance that comes with being in a statewide office.
Yeah. So looking for a little more meaning and something to really sink your teeth into or dive into or whatever the metaphor would be. And here we are.
Yeah, it's so true. It was unexpected for me. But when you run for an office, you learn so much about our state, especially those that are really in most need. And right. I think that this somehow led me to Children's Home. A number of people I had told, boy, I think I want to do one more big thing. And Children's Home is the big thing. Their mission is extraordinary. And it seems like it's the place for me to be able to do what I wouldn't have been able to do had I won.
I want to talk about Children's Home Society, of course. But before we go into that, just this idea, because so many women, as we talked last, about women in politics and your, historic run for lieutenant governor alongside Billy Sutton for governor, just this concept of women stepping into a bigger, bolder arena, many of whom have not before, and are loving it just for the reasons that you say. The doors open, the scales fall away from your eyes a little bit, and you say, wow, this is a huge need, and I can meet it.
Well, I have always been a big advocate about women leading organizations. It's great that, they're VPs, senior VPs, but especially in our market, women don't have the number of CEO jobs that they should. So I have mentored so many young women and middle-aged women to get to that point. And here myself, being the first female CEO for Children's Home, the 10th leader.
In 126 years,
yeah.
The first female CEO.
Which is amazing, isn't it? But I have to tell you, I feel so honored. And I know their selection process was extraordinary. I think it was, I joke with the board that this was the most checked out I ever was, even more than running for election. But they wanted to be so careful with who they brought in. And they had very strong candidates. So I'm just thrilled to be there on my 11th day. I've got to see so much of what goes on there, and their reputation is so stellar.
Right.
That was one reason that I went. I mean, all my friends and colleagues said, wow, if you're going to go back and do one more big thing, you chose the best social services company in South Dakota.
And being on the campaign trail, you take your shots too.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a vulnerability, you put yourself out there to accept the fact that you are not in peer right now doing the leadership that you had so hoped to do alongside Billy. So how does that prepare you then for this next big, that sort of openness to everybody looking at what you're doing, which most people can be a little uncomfortable with until you fully commit to your leadership?
Yes, absolutely. I think when you run for office in a statewide role like that, you really do see what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And when you're prepared to do it, and then unfortunately you don't get the chance, I think you look for other opportunities to make that kind of impact and that kind of difference. And I am just, I think, really grateful that I've been able to find it at this point of my life to go in and lead an organization. And, they are long. This has been around a long time. So the team is wondering, wow, what's she going to do?
Right.
I am known kind of as a change agent. But what's prepared me also, besides the election, is being in education at USD, I played a big role at USD when I was there, and then being in healthcare, because Children's Home runs two inpatient behavioral health programs as well as schools. So I think it's kind of a unique combination of education and healthcare.
Right.
And just being in the public and being able to deal with
that. Your CV sort of oddly lines up with this you know, mixture here. Let's talk about Children's Home Society, because some people have a smaller view of it because it doesn't necessarily directly, they don't directly interact with the services. How do you explain to people what this place,
what this organization is? Yeah, indeed. That's what I want people to do, is learn how to do the elevator speech to say, here's what Children's Home is. Most people associate it with just the two big campuses, one in Sioux Falls and one in the Black Hills, which is indeed where we have the inpatient behavioral health live-in programs for little kiddos from age really 4 to up to 13. And we do run those two programs, and we run them well. But we also have a variety of other things. In fact, Children's Inn. I think many people don't know that Children's Inn is a part of Children's Home Society. Mm-hmm. So Children's Inn is actually a shelter for women, mostly women, but certainly men, and their kids. Then they can come there if they're in a bad situation. It's 24 hours a day, and we help families get back on their feet if they need restraining orders or if they need other kinds of to go to court, get the kids back in school, just really provide a safe landing. Mm-hmm. And that program is absolutely bursting at the seams. And I can talk to you about our priority in a bit about Children's Inn. And that's only in Sioux Falls. But we also run a program called Bright Start. And that is really, we get some wonderful funding. I'm so grateful for United Way and for all of our other donors generously giving money to women who are pregnant, who are high risk. So if they're about 24 weeks pregnant, they can come and be in this program. And we follow them for up to 3 years. And these are nurses that are meeting consistently with these moms to make sure that they get a good start with their kids.
Hmm. Is there a research component to that? Is that just a service that's helping? Or are there things that you do to track, you know, to be more effective?
That's a good point. I think I haven't had a chance to look into what the long-term outcomes are, but I know that there is certainly secondary research that supports that. We all know moms want to do a good job with their kids, and sometimes because of poverty or other issues in their life, they can't. So the nurse is there not only to make sure they're healthy physically, but also emotionally, and helps them. You know, it's amazing what these nurses do in terms of getting them in the right programs, hooking them up to all the programs that they don't have. So Bright Start is wonderful, but we also in the Black Hills have community-based services as well as in Sioux Falls, where we focus on really encouraging South Dakotans to become foster families and even adoptive families. So Christy Noem has committed to speaking in every big speech that she gives to encourage South Dakotans to consider being foster families, and that has really helped. Mm-hmm. Just being there the last couple of weeks, the folks in our community-based services have told us that they're seeing those spikes. So we run the call line for if you're interested in being a foster parent, you're actually calling Children's Home, because we have the contract, and then we tell you what it's like to become a foster family. And we have still such a great need for foster family. I have to tell you this one story. Walking in the office this morning, we had a woman. She approached me. She said, I've only been here a week. Thank you for welcoming me on my first day through email. And I said, well, what's your story? And she said, I've had 8 foster children, and that's how I got to know Children's Home. And she's in the process of adopting 2. And then she loved it so much she came to work for us as a community-based advocate. So she can talk about, here's what it's really like to be a foster parent.
Right, yeah. And that's just the kind of team that you want to build.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense that these people who have walked this journey and can be open and honest and factual.
Because the kids come from really challenging circumstances, really challenging, from abuse or all the things that go on in families. And the kids they're hurting, especially when they first come to us on the inpatient side. So there's a lot of intervention. They have daily therapy classes, sessions, And, of course, they're going to school full-time, and it's year-round school, and they're in really pretty intense behavioral health. So, but you see them when they leave. I'm just anxious to follow some of these kids. Right, but right now, they look in my office, look in the window when I'm in the Black Hills, and I'm smiling and waving at them. And sometimes they come in and ask for a hug, and I think that's been some of my best days.
There's so much, you know, heart that goes into, tell me a little bit about the, in these early days, the staff and the employees and your leadership team and the sort of things that you see as far as how they bring not only their professional knowledge and that research and best practices, but how they bring their whole selves to work.
Isn't that true? Bringing your whole self. I have to say that I've committed to meeting with every one of our 360 employees one-on-one. Which has been wonderful so far. These folks are very verbal because they have excellent communication skills because they have to do that with the kids and families. And so I'm asking them about who they are as a person and what their job is like. And then, oh, by the way, if you were CEO, what would you do?
Yeah.
And what's those one things I shouldn't touch? And people have just been so authentic and forthcoming. And I'm realizing that's maybe the nature of the business, but one thing everybody has in common, boy, do they wear the mission and their heart on their sleeves.
Yeah.
During the recruitment, the board and the search committee would say, it's all about the kids. When I'd say, what's the culture like? They'd say, it's all about the kids. And you just see it in spades that these people are just there to surround that kid with so much love. Somebody said it well last week. We had our board meeting and our annual meeting, and they said their job is to sort of inoculate the child while they're there so when they leave, they can deal with anything else that comes up. Mm. So it's all about those tools and those skills that they learn, those coping skills that maybe they didn't have, and then they leave, and maybe they're going to be okay.
Yeah. What are you seeing as your role then to help support that staff in their journey? Because people who give so much and by the nature of the work that they do can be disappointed, can be frustrated, can be blocked because of, you know, things that you just can't do that you wish you could. How do you take care of, how do you sort of see your role? It's too soon to talk about, your strategic plan going forward, but how do you see your role in that regard of sort of wrapping those staff members and those workers, employees, and team up to help create that longevity and that safe landing spot for them?
Yeah, that's such a good point. They're in such hard jobs. They're in hard jobs. I mean, even with me being in healthcare and watching, healthcare's hard too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the hands-on caregivers that are working those 12-hour shifts. And so I feel like I'm prepared to talk about those things. We really, because it's social services and human services, and so many come from masters of social work and therapy, they're so in tune to it.
Right.
So my message has always been, but what about yourself? The word self-care is something I am hearing a lot there, that everybody's in tune. Take time for yourself. Get away from that when you need to, because it is absolutely, absolutely intense. And unfortunately, we're in a setting like so many businesses in Sioux Falls and South Dakota in general that have workforce development is an absolutely critical issue.
Right.
So a lot of times these are folks' first job out of either high school or college, and they're with, five kids that might be challenging. And so you really have to mentor them and help them get through that. And you know what? The truth is, it's not for everybody. And I think we do see some turnover because of that. That's not what they expected. So right now, what we're doing, Lori, is figuring out how do we really improve our overall workforce, their overall environment, because I am so amazed that this team, this leadership team, maybe everybody remembers T. Denny Sanford gave us the most amazing gift in January of $55 million. And this organization knew that Denny Sanford said, I want to fund your most critical issue. And they put almost all of it, $44 million, aside for workforce development.
Wow.
I mean, I continue to be just astounded by that. But the truth of it is, that is our toughest challenges, because those are the people that are delivering the care to the kiddos. Mm-hmm. And so we're right now.
So scholarships, training, that sort of
absolutely.
Thing. What does that look like?
Yeah. They all got immediate increases, which was amazing. Mm. I mean, the business, unfortunately, you know, it probably was on the lower end of the scale. So we're very mindful of continuing to make sure we continue to give those raises. We changed the staffing. So instead of usually the standard is one staff for every six kids, we made that five kids. Mm. So we added people, and we're continuing to add people in year two. But we spent a lot of time talking to the staff and like what would make a difference in workforce,
right.
in
yeah.
your employee experience. So they actually took what they said and are putting it into practice. So there was some bridge funding of $4 million. And then we wait until the rest of that money starts to kick out the principal, so that's the amount we spend. They're very conservative at Children's Home. There's no debt and a $110 million endowment, which is absolutely extraordinary in terms of how well run this organization has been. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody knows Dennis Dugard was extremely frugal, and he brought that with him into Children's Home. And yeah. then Bill Coulson has really continued that. But for my big priority right now is I want to make sure that $44 million that we've gotten is put to really good use. And there's a lot of other things we can do to make sure that it's a great workplace. You know,
right.
all that organization information, like the Sioux Falls Development Foundation has a senior person that they've put into a workforce development role to help businesses make sure their workforce is up to speed, so we'll tap into that. They're doing a bang-up job bringing in high school kids, college kids, to let them have a peek into that career, mm-hmm. to say, is that for me? And one thing I'm thinking is, you know, maybe we do fellowships that say, give us 18 months, come in, let us give you a great insight into how social services experiences work, and if that's not for you, that's okay,
right?
Instead of feeling like, oh, our turnover is really tough, what are we going to do? So
it seems like a huge opportunity as well, as yeah. you have this influx of this gift from T. Denny Sanford and new CEO, a challenge that many people throughout South Dakota, yeah. many businesses are facing. It could be a roadmap in the future to I'm thinking, you know, a few years down the road
Absolutely.
To say it worked and here's how, and then other people can look at that, because sometimes it's hard to make that kind of investment because it's a risk and people don't know if it will pay off.
Isn't that
You're about
true?
To show.
I know, maybe they'll give me a couple of years to show that it does work.
In a few years, don't you think that
yeah.
that could, as you track things going forward, what works and what doesn't, and
I think
other people
so.
Are going to be watching.
I yeah. mean, people are doing things like, we just have all kinds of ideas coming in. I mean, maybe you pay people's children or their student loans. You know,
right.
our debt in South Dakota is extraordinary. I mean, isn't that an interesting, somebody in Rapid shared, wouldn't that be fun if you could, for every month you work, you pay your student loan debt.
Right.
And then if you're there long enough, we pay it off.
Right.
I mean, that's some big thinking that I think is going mm-hmm. on. And, you know, and even for people that want to get a master's degree, maybe that's enough to make you stick around if we help you with that.
Right.
So I am really digging into all the literature about workforce development and talking to everybody I know here. Because believe it or not, almost every company you talk to here in Sioux Falls, they're hiring senior level people. They're calling them VP of Workforce, People, and Culture. Because if you
right.
look at, I know everybody talks about the millennials, but they want other things besides, you know, more money. You know, they're looking for that connection, right? They're looking for connection, and they want a bigger world and a bigger impact. I talked to a young man in Rapid City who had only been there a month, and I said, will you just sit and have lunch with me? I want to talk about what your experience has been. And one of the critical questions is, what do you think about when you come to work? And what's been your best day and what's been your worst day? I was just blown away. He's probably in his 25, and he said, hey, what I think about is how, if a kid's having a bad day, how I can make it better for him and turn him. And I said, what was your best day? He said, today, because I did it today. And I'm like, yay.
You know, and going and circling back to what we talked about as far as the services provided, I mean, you meet some people at their worst crisis moment.
Oh,
these are some very bad days. for the people who are seeking services. You know, I think of a mother at Children's Inn who's, you know, has nothing but her purse maybe and her kids in tow and has no idea what happens next. And that's quite a space to be in. Yeah.
Oh, that Children's Inn is just, I mean, I went there my first day of work and it just stuck with me. It was a day when we didn't have school and I think there was 69 people there. And I mean, it's so full that we turn sometimes the living rooms into space for moms and their kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you have to put mattresses on the floor because there's such demand for it. And so the other part of the Sanford gift is building a new Children's Inn.
Right.
So he gave us $11 million for that. And we're looking for space right now that's along a bus route, and we're going to build it from scratch. The place we are is kind of landlocked, so you can't go up. But we actually need to double capacity.
Yeah.
Of that place. And so it's both the city refers, we don't have another shelter. I mean, the city refers to us, as does the county. So we're the city and the county shelter. And we're grateful for that money that we get from there. But we have to have funding to operate it now. So it's one thing to build it, but my gosh, to be able to have the extra staff and just the extra expense of running a building, running a business that's that much bigger. And there is no money. I mean, we don't charge anybody for those services.
Right.
And there's therapy available to the adults. So we have two therapists on staff. So as I look at that, I go, oh, my gosh. I think people don't realize the complexity of that. I mean, you're right. People come with no clothes. So you look in the closets and there's every size of clothes.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the staff there, they're there for a reason, and they absolutely love their jobs, and they want to be there.
Well, I hope that you can come on more often when it's not next monumental transition, and we'll have some of these conversations as we go along about women in leadership, people in crisis, and you're always welcome back because you have you're the first female CEO in 126 years, and you've got more women on your leadership team as well.
I'm so proud. I have a female CFO and a female COO, and they are absolute rock stars.
Yeah.
And it makes me really proud that we've got this female C-suite going on. We've got some great men, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm just really proud that we can go forward with this group of leaders.
Michelle LaValle is CEO of Children's Home Society. She joined us here in the Sioux Falls studio. Hey, thanks. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Lori.